If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Telling you what, Dekt is a game changer. Dekt has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Dekt drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Dekt.com/meat eater to receive free shipping. Go to Dekt.com/meat eater and get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Cal, Brody, Randall, Maggie, Chester, Seth, Mackenzie, and Hansi. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at player performance in regular episodes versus guest host episodes during a regular round of trivia. The average player score is 4.72. During a guest host round of trivia, the average player score is 3.2. That's a difference of 1.52 points. During a regular round of trivia, the average winning score is 7.38, and during a guest host round of trivia, the average player score is 5.75. That's a difference of 1.63 points. It's safe to say that guest host rounds are significantly harder.
I've had a lot of .38 type answers, so that's
going that mic, Cal.
I would have guessed that there would have been a much larger differential between.
Well, I think we had Brody and Yanni's games had 4 as the winning score, and then I think yours was 8, and Steve's might have been 8, something like that. So you and Steve brought the average up. Brody and Yanni brought the average down. Still harder, though. People will sometimes ask for harder rounds of trivia. They get it when someone else is the host. Now, here's our infrequently asked questions segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Josh Chapman wants to know, my kids enjoy playing along every week, but they especially loved the kids episode of trivia. Will there be more of those coming out? The answer is yes. We have some kids-specific podcasts coming out later this year, hopefully in the next couple months. Trivia will be part of that show. I think that's all I can say for now. I've heard the pilot that Phil has edited. I think it's one of the best things that we're putting out as an audio product. I am stoked on it, Phil. I think it is a lot of fun. I would listen to it, even though I'm not a kid. I don't have kids.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we made a mistake. It's sort of what we usually do around here is we talk about something like way before we know when it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We have no set date on when this kids podcast is going to start, but it'll happen eventually. So
this year.
Stay tuned. Yeah, this year, hopefully.
Good work,
Phil. Hey, Phil, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Mentally, what's going on every time you watch Spencer manhandle his mic like that? He's just like constantly touching it.
I mean, I've talked to him about it before, yeah. And I've just kind of given up.
Sorry, Phil.
Yeah, that's okay.
I fidget. I fidget a lot.
It's okay, I just got done editing the Brody-hosted episode.
Mm.
Even when you're not in the host seat, Spencer, you are moving that thing around like you're swirling a glass of scotch or
something. So you would say it does have an effect then?
A little bit.
It's not too hard to clean though.
We're only like 100 episodes in.
Yeah.
One of us will figure it out. Either Phil will just put up with it, or I'll solve it and not mess with the mic anymore. Yeah. It's probably not going to be me messing
with
the mic.
You just white knuckle like the desk, you know?
Apologies, Phil. Apologies. Right, now, we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about the six states that the Wolverine Foundation says has established populations of wolverines. Those states are Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, and Alaska. In the follow-up factoid, I said that California's last wolverine sighting was in 1922, but that's when the species was extirpated, not when it had its last sighting. California actually had a sighting in 2008 and 2023, which are the state's only two confirmed sightings in the last 100 years. Biologists believe those two wolverines either wandered in from Oregon to the north or the Rocky Mountains to the east. Similar to California, Utah has had wolverine sightings, but is not considered to be part of their current range. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, there have been 8 confirmed wolverine sightings in Utah since 1979, with 4 occurring in 2021. Biologists actually captured and collared a male there in 2022. So it feels like they are expanding their range, but the Wolverine Foundation still says that their current range is those 6 states.
Well, I mean, come on. It's like you're lying to your audience right now to fit your narrative. Like filling folks with like how biology works, mm-hmm. right? Like your question was, where is the established range?
According to the Wolverine Foundation.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Not established range, established population.
Established population. So mm-hmm. sightings don't count as established populations, right?
Like there's not mountain lions in Pennsylvania.
Population. We need a breeding mm-hmm. population. However, if you also talk to these folks, like the way that they do their studies is not totally comprehensive. Like the Sierras in California, impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, or the even the Wasatch Range, like both heavily peopled, but impossible to catalog the whole range all the time. So, but it is absolutely Wolverine range, and it has all the factors that Wolverines need, that the people at the Wolverine Society would say these sure. things have to be met in order to have a Wolverine population. So did they ever get extirpated from California? It's a weasel, a highly mobile weasel. I find it very, very hard to believe that they did.
Well, maybe, I'm glad that's settled.
Maybe in our lifetime, Cal, they'll draw that part in on the map for part of their range.
Well, it's like, again, we know that there's this theme of your sure. answers not being like 100% the answer. So
Cal,
I think
you should host
an
episode.
No, I don't want to. I'm here to argue with you.
Uh-huh.
That's the fun part.
You're fulfilling it today.
Thank you.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 5, so I'm putting us on perfect game alert. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have Seth and Chester with a $1 bet. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay, and who wins trivia?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. This is the first time.
Not who wins, who scores higher.
Got it. This is the first time you boys have put money on a game of trivia.
Yes. This is the first time, so.
Okay, $1 bet on the line, $500 for everybody else.
Now that football's over, you just can't help yourself. You need some other way of getting your fix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Question 1, the topic is conservation, and this is multiple choice. Which of these animal classes has the most listings on America's endangered species list? Is it fishes, amphibians, reptiles, or mammals? This is counting animals that are listed as endangered and threatened on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Endangered Species List for the United States. So the question is, which of these animal classes has the most listings on America's Endangered Species List? Your 4 choices are fishes, amphibians, reptiles, mammals. Nobody in the room looks very confident. Cal hasn't picked up his whiteboard yet. Which of these animal classes has the most listings on America's endangered species list? Fishes, amphibians, reptiles, mammals.
You know, I don't like fishes. Why can't we just say fish?
You know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, when they list it, the category is fishes.
Oh, I know.
So
I
respected
like
that and went with the ES. Fishes, amphibians, reptiles, mammals.
Hmm.
I think we're waiting on Cal and Brody.
Oh, really?
I thought we'd drag this one out a little while.
No, we could.
What are you going with? What's the first letter?
F-A-R-M.
Two different letters right now.
Which animal class has the most listings on America's endangered species list? Fishes, amphibians, reptiles, mammals. Is everybody ready? Cal? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying amphibians. Hansi saying fishes. Chester saying amphibians. Randall saying fishes. Mackenzie saying mammals. Cal saying fishes. Maggie saying amphibians. Brody saying fish. The correct answer is fishes. About half of you got that right. Hansi, Randall, Cal, Brody, Funkhead. Fish. There are 139 fish listed on the United States endangered species list. That's followed by mammals with 81, reptiles with 50, and amphibians with 43. In total, there are 726 animals and 939 plants on the list. Question two, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Tim Voles. States such as Wyoming, Illinois, Louisiana, and New York offer this color as an alternative to wearing hunter orange. The topic is hunting. States such as Wyoming, Illinois, Louisiana, and New York offer this color as an alternative to wearing hunter orange.
Amphibians are so far down on that list, it makes me think we ran out of them before we started knowing that they were here.
Maybe.
You know what, Spencer? Steve would be real happy with the way you worded this question.
With such as.
He changed from like.
It was a New Year's resolution, 2024. You're going to have like in questions significantly less. We're going with such as. That'll make our grammar nerds and Steve particularly happy. Here's the question one more time. States such as Wyoming, Illinois, Louisiana, and New York offer this color as an alternative to wearing hunter orange. Is everybody ready? Maggie from Wyoming, do you have this one right, Maggie?
I hope so.
Okay, she hopes so. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying pink, Hansi saying red, Chester saying red, Randall saying pink, Mackenzie saying neon yellow, Cal and Maggie and Brody saying pink. They got it. The correct answer is pink. Other states that offer pink as an alternative color include Wisconsin, Washington, Virginia, Minnesota, Maryland, and Colorado. Proponents of Blaze Pink say it's a way to encourage more women to hunt, but when the topic came up during 2015's Wisconsin legislative session, the Women's Hunting and Sporting Association objected to the bill and called it demeaning. For more on this subject, go to themeateater.com and read Sarah Keller's article called Is Pink the New Orange?
How about for more on this subject, we ask the two women in this room what they think.
I think that's bullshit.
Yep.
Which way?
I never wear hot pink.
Okay. Never.
So I'm not going to let that stop me from.
But do you think it would encourage like the like line of thought that it would encourage more women to hunt? Is that it? Just seems
no.
It's going to be a hard no for me.
Maybe
I don't
girls.
Think I own an article of pink clothing, so that might just be my opinion.
It's hot pink. Hot pink is. The
I also don't own an article of hot pink clothing. Yeah. But. To make the assumption that changing what color that you can wear in the woods would make more women go out there is just so absurd and like so old fashioned. Like, just put your hunter's orange on and get out there.
About a dozen states disagree with you, though. Question three.
You want some super fun first light knowledge?
Okay.
This is something that I found fascinating.
Some deep insider information.
When we were working on the women's line.
Cal, you were like, what, employee three at First Light? something like that?
Well, I was the first actual employee.
Okay, patient employee zero. One. Wow, yeah, all right, carry on.
Yep. So when we were working on the women's line, I had rounded up basically all the women that I knew that were guides and outfitters. And we were sending them stuff and getting feedback from them. And then, and it was unanimous. It was like, no, we don't want any pink. However, the buyers, like the vast majority of buyers in box stores are male. And 100% of them said, you know what you should do with this? Put a little pink on there.
So what'd you guys do?
We didn't put any pink on.
Thank you.
Question three, the topic is cooking. Eater said this six-letter dish, which is basically Mexican beef stew, was America's hottest taco trend in 2020. Eater said this six-letter dish, which is basically Mexican beef stew, was America's hottest taco trend in 2020. Brody is confident. First one to come up with an answer. You have this one right, Brody.
No, I think if anyone who spends any amount of time on Instagram given a hint. Would get this one
okay,
right.
Okay, Cal, you have this one right as well.
Really holding off on my hand. Really holding off.
The Randall, Chester, Hansi, Seth side of the table is not confident.
Has to do with the conversation that we had with Randall earlier.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time on Instagram, but it's mostly for health and wellness and fitness trends.
Well, you know, part of health and wellness is food. When done right.
Eater good said food. This six-letter dish, which is basically Mexican beef stew, was America's hottest taco trend in 2020. Maggie, you have this one right as well.
I hope so.
Okay, this corner of the table, Cal, Maggie, Brody, they have it right. Our other five players
you guys
like I feel like it should be more obvious.
Don't know the answer.
I'm just stumped.
I'm going to hear it and be like...
Yeah, exactly.
I keep counting that.
It's
letters.
Probably on the menu at Chipotle or something.
It goes really
six
well with the
letter
pop song.
Dish. I don't know what you're referring
don't tease
to.
Me
that
like
seems
that.
Like a hint
that
for
gives me no
some
up.
Folks.
That confused me. Yeah.
Eater said this six-letter dish, which is basically Mexican beef stew, was America's hottest taco trend in 2020. Do we give up our five players who have not come up with an answer? Kenzie, Randall.
Oh, I really don't want to give up.
Okay.
No.
Hottest taco trend.
The hottest taco trend
just
in
thinking 2020. Of 2020.
Taco trends.
And taco trends aren't coming to mind. Supply line disruptions.
Yeah.
Masks.
COVID.
Taco trend is just not on my.
Uh-huh. I think you're running out of time.
Oh.
It's going to be so obvious.
You know, it doesn't matter, Spencer. Just go. Yeah.
Oh, Phil says go ahead and reveal
that was an
your
accident,
answer.
But yeah, I'm going
to
go.
Way to go, Phil.
We have Seth and Hansi and Chester and Randall and Mackenzie without an answer. We have Cal saying upside down Berea.
Oh,
Maggie saying Berea.
Darn.
Brody saying Berea. And they all spelled it right. The correct answer is Berea.
I would have never gotten that.
No. They're so good. They're such good. You
darn.
Should make them if you haven't had
gross
them.
Gross amount of cheese.
No, it's because the dippy sauce. Yeah.
Berea was invented in the 1600s in Mexico and gained popularity when it started getting served out of food trucks in California in the early 2000s. Eater says it got national attention after a viral Instagram post in 2018, which showed someone dipping a Berea taco in a steaming cup of consomme. If you want to learn how to make it, then go to themeateater.com and read Wade Trung's recipe called Venison Berea Tacos. Randall, did you know that one?
I know what, I mean, I'm familiar with Berea. It did not cross my mind.
But you weren't aware of that taco trend in 2020.
It's still a trend.
Still a
yeah,
trend.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's where it's throwing me off, but yeah.
You can so go trendy, check out our recipe on the meateater.com.
I like how they're able to pinpoint when it was invented.
If you'd said a six-letter dish beginning with B, I would have gotten it.
Oh, really?
Quite confidently, I can say that.
I would agree. I think that would have spurred it. It was deep down in the memory.
Question four. The topic is fishing. This next great question is via Jared Curtis. A 2008 book declared this fish, which goes by the nickname Bunker, to be, quote, the most important fish in the sea. A 2008 book declared this fish, which goes by the nickname Bunker, to be the most important fish in the sea. Brody and Cal and Randall know it.
Dr. Williams has an unfair advantage on this one.
Oh, really? Tell us about it.
No, no. You need to stop talking.
Okay. A book declared this fish, which goes by the nickname Bunker, to be the most important fish in the sea. For those of you who have it right, Brody, Cal, Randall, do you agree that this is the most important fish in the sea?
I think it depends on where you're at in the sea, but it, yeah, sure.
I have a hard time making just large-scale pronouncements about the sea because it's so mysterious.
So no. Did you see what Cal posted about the sea? They found a beer bottle on the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of, I wonder
beer was it?
Still had the label on, green glass. So.
I wonder where that started, like its drift. If it was like...
It's a rolling rock, I'd like to think.
From a continent away? Or
I mean, even if it were to go straight down, the amount of time it takes for something to get to the bottom.
Yeah, it's like 35,000 feet or something. Like, what, is it that?
37,000.
Humans are so impressive. We can litter at the bottom of the earth.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first time we got like some sort of live feed down there, the first thing that they saw was a plastic bag going by. Yeah. Everybody got real excited. They're like, oh, it's a new it's a plastic bag.
Yeah, go humans. We're undefeated.
Yeah.
And where we can put our litter. A 2008 book declared this fish, which goes by the nickname Bunker, to be the most important fish in the seas. Everybody ready? Hansi? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying striped bass. Hansi saying alewives. Chester saying coho salmon. Randall saying menhaden. Mackenzie saying grouper. Cal saying menhaden. Maggie saying sardines. Brody saying menhaden. The correct answer is menhaden.
I've never even heard of that.
I knew it was something.
A 2008 Bruce Franklin book called Menhaden, The Ocean's Unlikely Hero. He goes on to describe how billions of them are ground up and turned into animal food, fertilizer, and oil each year. Menhaden play an important role in marine ecosystems as one of the primary food sources of bluefish, striped bass, sharks, whales, and dolphins. Now, what is the advantage that Dr. Randall had?
Thank you so much for asking. Randall Williams used to work for the Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
Mm.
And what was TRCP doing on the issue of menhaden?
We did a lot of things. It's a complicated issue because it's a marine fishery. So, like, there's different state jurisdictions.
Go ahead and skip the part
like
that matters.
But, I mean, this reduction fishery is like blowing up a sort of keystone forage fish that affects game fish populations, and it's all the way up and down the Atlantic coast and in the Gulf. I've spent more time thinking and talking and writing about menhaden than one might ever want to.
Yeah,
in a lifetime.
Most folks who live in Montana were a long ways from that fish.
Are there other names for them?
Bunker.
I'm just pogie? Other than bunk pogie.
Pogie.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Question 5, the topic is wildlife. This next great question comes to us via Ty Brooks. Name one of the 3 states with Coda Mundi, according to the National Park Service. Some online pronunciations, like Merriam-Webster,
Coatamundi.
Say it's... Yeah, Coatamundi. But most folks that I hear say it are
one
Coda Mundi.
Just name one state?
Name one of the 3 states that have Coda Mundi, according to the National Park Service.
I just recently observed...
Are you kidding me?
There's a little hint from about 5 words that Seth got out of his mouth before Brody and Randall shut him down.
I've been everywhere from Montana to Pennsylvania to...
Mackenzie, did that give you a hint? She's shaking her head yes.
Look what you did.
Thanks, Seth. I mean, I don't know if it's right.
I'm going to tell you my story now.
Chester, did that give you a hint?
I mean, yeah. I already...
Hansi, did that give you a hint?
Yeah.
Okay. Where were you on Berea,
but
Seth?
It confused me
Chester
a little bit.
Right, gave him a hint and confused him. Wow.
crazy trip to Pennsylvania.
I can give you I can give you another
season
hint.
Season just closed there for yeah, quite a
I can give you another hint.
Okay, go
when
ahead.
You're running your trap where I've Pennsylvania.
Where I've most recently been, where people probably thought I was talking about. I've never observed them there.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Arizona, Hanzi saying Texas, Chester saying Arizona, Randall saying Texas, Mackenzie saying Texas, Cal saying Texas, Maggie saying Arizona, Brody saying Arizona. Everybody got it. The three states are Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Nobody said New Mexico. Everyone got it with Arizona or Texas.
Can somebody tell me what that is?
The National Park Service says that this animal is best described as a long-nosed raccoon. They use that long snout to root around in soil and leaf litter for food. Their diet is similar to a raccoon, which is to say that they'll eat anything. As omnivores, they'll dine on fruits, nuts, insects, birds, eggs, lizards, snakes, grubs, and more.
One of the best hunt days I've ever had was because of a Quadamundi. Old Rick Smith and I were posted up on a mountain, and he is just dead to the world sawing logs. And I'm watching some deer and, you know, really on alert, figuring something could happen at any time. And then I look down this old dozer grade, and the only thing that could come to mind was I'm slapping Rick, trying to get him to wake up because he's an international man of mystery. He's been around the world like 19 times. I'm like, Rick, raccoon monkey. Amazing creature. I guess they get eaten a lot. Like people eat them in Central America.
What was this one doing that you watched?
Just came cruising down the road just and dinked around. It was awesome.
Being a raccoon super monkey. Cool.
I was, when we were in Mexico, I was glassing a hillside and I came across just this giant furry black spot on the hillside. Like, what in the hell is that? And then finally they all dispersed and it was 15 of them like all sleeping together in like a ball.
Huh.
It was crazy.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, my folks are down poking around in Arizona right now and their dog Hank kicked up like three of them and they sent me a video and I've never seen that dog look so just like baffled. Like he's a Wyoming dog. He's never seen a raccoon, let alone see that. It was
raccoon.
It's a good video. Raccoon monkeys. Yeah.
Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Everybody's on the board, thanks to Seth. Probably. We got Mackenzie and Chester with 1 point apiece. Seth and Hanzi have two. Maggie has three. Randall has four. And tied up in first place with perfect games are Brody and Cal.
Mackenzie, what do you think you would have put for that last question if Seth didn't give you the hint?
I have I had not heard of that before. Okay. I was thinking Alaska. I was also thinking down south because there's a lot more diversity down there. Okay.
So. Chester, how did Randall, how did Seth confuse
you? Well, it didn't really confuse me. It threw me off a little bit. I had Arizona in my head before he said, you know, he just recently saw one of those. So I thought Texas. But then, I stuck with my
The funny
Arizona
thing is,
deal.
Where I recently saw them was not in any state.
Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
Yeah.
But it borders several states.
Yeah. It's true.
I wish you had traveled to Berea, Kentucky in recent weeks and told us all about that. Spelled differently, five letters, but it would have tipped me off.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding in a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements. And you can enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Man, I just got a new truck. Before I even drove my new truck anywhere, I wasn't going to drive it anywhere until I put a deck system in it. That's what a believer I am in decked. I always thought they were a great deal, but now they're even better because they have redesigned their drawer system and storage cases from the ground up. It's like, I didn't know there was a problem with them. I don't know, they seem great to me. It's just an improvement on perfection. The new system, made in the USA, gives you 10 to 30% bigger drawers to fit more gear. It's lockable and secure, right? Weatherproof storage for all your gear. You build it right into your truck bed. You still have a truck bed you can put stuff on. The top deck of the new system has 8 D-ring tie downs integrated into the steel. So you have really burly anchor points to hook stuff down on your bed. So if you got to slam on the brakes or take off real fast, nothing shifts. And like I said, they're D-rings that lay real flat. Like you can still slide stuff right across the deck. It doesn't catch on the D-rings. The D-rings are built in. The drawer system fits any truck or van on the road in the USA from the last 20 plus years. Decked is a game changer. There's no more like leaving stuff at home that you wish you had with you. The stuff I want in my truck is in my truck, out of the way and secure. Go to deck.com/meateater to receive free shipping. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Question 6, the topic is cooking. A sushi roll filled with salmon, cream cheese, and avocado is named after this East Coast city. A sushi roll filled with salmon, cream cheese, and avocado is named after this East Coast city.
Anything with cream cheese is not sushi. Just getting that out there.
Seth, you have this one right.
I put down a city on the East Coast.
Randall, you have this one right.
Boy, I hope so.
Brody and Cal also look confident. Mackenzie, you have this one right. Maggie, you have this one right. All right.
We're going to load it with cream cheese. We're going to deep fat fry it, and then we're going to coat it in mayo.
That's sushi.
That's sushi, yeah.
Looks like it'll be up to Hansi and Chester if this is a 100 percenter or not. Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Seth saying Philly, Hansi saying Philly, Chester saying Philly. Everybody said Philly. Everybody got it right. The correct answer is Philadelphia. This sushi roll was created during a Philadelphia culinary competition in the 1980s. Although the city is famous for its cream cheese, that cream cheese was actually invented in New York in 1872. The Philadelphia namesake was just a marketing move to capitalize on the region's reputation for good dairy products. If you want to learn more on how to make your own sushi, then watch Kimmy Werner's video on themeateater.com called How to Make Sushi.
They were going to use a can of cream of mushroom soup, but they couldn't quite get it to stick on there.
Question 7, the topic is conservation. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Keith Jordan for sending this great question. Keith is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. What country is home to 40% of the world's tropical rainforests and 10% of the world's biodiversity? Phil would like to speed the game up here. Here's the question again. The topic is conservation. What country is home to 40% of the world's tropical rainforests and 10% of the world's biodiversity? Cal, who has a perfect game going, is changing his answer. Randall just one behind them. Brody, are you confident in your answer?
No.
Okay.
I mean, this is a tough one. This is
a trick question. Randall was quick to answer, I'll tell you that. Maybe he's trying to get
that your doesn't
head.
Mean he got it right.
Okay. Randall, did you get this one right?
I'm trying to sow some seeds of doubt.
Uh-huh.
Africa.
Yes. There you go. What country is home to 40% of the world's tropical rainforests and 10% of the world's biodiversity? Mackenzie, do you have an answer? I think we're waiting on you.
Yeah, sorry, I have one.
Is everybody ready? Oh, Chester doing a little scribbling. Chester, are we changing an answer or clarifying an answer?
Changing an answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Brazil. Hansi saying Brazil. Everybody says Brazil except Maggie. Maggie says Costa Rica. The correct answer is Brazil.
I don't know why I did that. At first I heard continents and I wrote down a continent and I was like, that's impossible. And then I had to think of a country. And
that's a good story.
Man, my brain short-circuited right there.
I initially read it as county and I thought it was a very difficult question.
Well, I gotta ask why you decided to include the biodiversity part of it.
Just a little more details. I don't know. Might throw you off.
You'd have to ask the listener.
Biodiversity is what you'd have threw to ask me Keith. Off because like Madagascar and Borneo.
Keith didn't have that detail in there. I included that detail. It said that Brazil is the most biodiverse place on Earth and is home to about 200,000 species of plants and animals. A 2015 paper said the country is so vast and remote that some species of birds have gone extinct there in our lifetime before biologists even knew they existed. It's estimated that 20% of Brazil's rainforests have been removed. Cal, you were talking about earlier about those amphibians. You're like, yeah, maybe we don't know about all the amphibians. Well, they're admitting in the Brazilian rainforest, which is what the Amazon rainforest, that we don't know about everything because stuff is disappearing before we even knew it was there.
I'd like to have that same question for just for my own personal knowledge regarding Central America. Just move her down a little bit closer to the equator. Be interesting.
Question 8. The topic is fishing. This country artist who should have been a cowboy purchased Lucky Strike lures in 2023. This is question 8. We still have a couple perfect games going.
This is a pop culture question.
This is a fishing question. This country artist who should have been a cowboy purchased Lucky Strike lures in 2023. Cal, is this going to keep the perfect game going?
Yes.
Brody, is this going to keep the perfect game going?
No, I'm like, because I can't think of his damn name.
Okay, can't think of his damn name. That's a problem. Question is asking
for some of us it's a problem name. For others it's a blessing.
Two perfect games going through question 8.
Oh, there's two names
this
in my head right
country
now.
Artist who should have been a cowboy purchased Lucky Strike lures in 2021. There is Cal handing out hints, filling in some more lyrics for folks. Seth, you have this one right.
I think so.
Maybe Chester with a blank board. Our musician in the room.
I recently heard the story of why he wrote that song.
There's a hint. It's a he that purchased it.
Sorry, I thought
So we've got about 10 more words of lyrics from Cal, and we've gendered him from Maggie. This country artist who should have been a cowboy purchased Lucky Strike lures in 2023. Brody, how we doing over here?
Not good. Keep talking amongst yourselves, though.
Hey, you guys got any more hints for Brody? I would suggest you not give them.
Well, it's a good... I don't think there's any hints. I'll wait until we reveal, until I tell the story.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Chester, our musician...
I can, like, sing it.
And fisherman, our singing fisherman, does not have an answer.
Songwriter, I think, is... You probably want to be known as a songwriter.
Songwriter, singer, artist.
All right. It's not going to come to me.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
I don't even want to look.
We have Seth saying Toby Keith.
I thought I was wrong.
Hansi saying Luke Combs.
God.
Chester without an answer. Randall saying Toby Keith. Mackenzie saying Toby Keith. Cal, Maggie, and Brody saying Toby Keith. They got it. The correct answer is Toby Keith.
So here's the story. Toby Keith was in the bar after hunting, wearing camo with his buddies, trying to get these girls to dance with him. Wouldn't dance with them. They were dancing with the cowboys wearing Western shirts and whatnot, you know. And his buddy looked at him and was like, man, should have been a cowboy. Went home, wrote the song, topped the charts.
There we go.
Nice.
Huh. Should have been a cowboy.
That's what I'm interested in.
He wasn't wearing First Light.
Lucky Strike made the puzzling decision in their press release to say that the company was in disarray before last year's acquisition. Keith was quoted on their website saying Lucky Strike needed focus and vision and that he was there to pick up the pieces. Part of their rebrand was a new patriotic logo that's red, white, and blue. Keith died last week at the age of 62.
What are some famous lures that company makes?
I'm not aware of much Lucky Strike. You know, they're like in Walmarts, though. Like, they're sold around the country. But as far as a specific thing they've created, I couldn't tell you. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Chester, Mackenzie, Hansi, Seth, and Maggie are not in the running for the win. We've got Randall with 7 points and still tied up in first place with perfect games. Our Brody and Cal.
Phil. What do I have and what does Chester have?
For our $1 bet on the side.
Seth has 5. Chester has 3.
Ooh.
Oh, Chester, you'll need to get these both correct. These
I
last should two have
been
questions.
A cowboy.
That Lucky Strike press release was really fascinating that they said the company was in disarray. Imagine if when we bought like First Light or Dave Smith or decoys, we'd be like, boy, they were a total mess. Good thing we're here. And they kept around most of the leadership, Lucky Strike did. Great press release. Mm. Question 9. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Peter Hawthorne.
PETA.
The National Deer Association describes this deer condition as, quote, a genetic mutation that causes patches of white hair. The National Deer Association describes this deer condition as, quote, a genetic mutation that causes patches of white hair. Seth, are you going to put away Chester with your answer here?
Yes.
You get either of these last two right, you just win the $1 bet. What are you going to spend that buck on?
I don't know. Maybe we'll go double or nothing on a different round.
I know this, too.
Yeah. It's funny that you haven't wrote down an answer, Chester.
I was just talking to someone about this the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me like some insight into how that. It
was my brother-in-law Todd, and he was talking about this deer he saw in northern Wisconsin, with some white patches on it, and he was confused.
Don't give out too many.
That
answers,
he
Chester.
Couldn't shoot it. Because he thought it might be blank, but it was in fact not blank. It was in fact this word that we're looking for, and I can't think of it.
Okay. You know what, Chester? You may have confused folks, actually. This is a strong story.
I got a question, and I can't ask it.
Yeah.
Randall likes where he's sitting with.
I just cannot.
Callum Brody.
Just real.
There's another term.
Do you care to embellish on the type of answer you're looking for?
I do not. Is everybody ready?
Just make it.
Then I'll just argue if I'm wrong.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying piebald. Hansi saying albinism. Chester without an answer. Randall saying piebald. Mackenzie saying albinism. Cal saying Dalmatia. Maggie saying piebaldism. Brody saying piebald. The correct answer is piebaldism or leucistic. Piebaldism is a form of leucism.
I wrote down piebald as my original answer.
That would have been correct. Mackenzie was cheating and saw that you wrote down piebald.
No, I specifically. I would have written it down if I was cheating.
Anyway, I thought piebald was just the face.
No, it can be splotches all over.
Well, if it's splotches.
But I think it's like a weird, it's like a very informal term for a genetic condition.
Well, yeah,
because,
you know, Appaloosa horse, they're
there's piebald horses.
Yeah.
But that's what they're bred for, mm-hmm. and they're not they are no longer referred to as a piebald.
Sometimes they are.
Well, isn't it horse breeds? You're like, it's a piebald Appaloosa.
So, like, paint horses, it's technically right, piebald horse. Doesn't. But
what?
You call them paint horses because that's just the vocabulary we use. But it's like a genetic trait.
I guess
trait
what I'm saying is I'm
for.
Expecting more out of the national deer.
I want to know more about alive. Dalmatia. What's huh? that?
I think that's a real word.
It's
piebald.
It's a region on the Adriatic.
Piebald deer will have blotches of white fur while maintaining their normal eye, nose, and hoof color. Albino deer will have completely white coats with pink eyes, pink noses, pink or white hooves, and pink or white velvet. It's estimated that about 1 in 1,000 deer are piebald and 1 in 30,000 deer are albino.
You can read my recent article on themeateater.com about a piebald elk that was recently shot in New Mexico.
Thank you, Maggie. Very good. And Cal, yeah, the piebald thing, sometimes it's like 10% of deer, like you'll see some extra white around their legs. Other deer, like covers 90% of them, they turn white. Not limited to just
yeah, but
one spot.
I mean, that's like part of the deal. Like I shot a doe this year that had white around her hooves, and I wasn't... taking pictures on Instagram or telling people, you know what I
sounds
shot.
Like a you problem.
Piebald deer.
Phil, we have one question left. Who is left in the game?
Callan Randall have 8 points, and in first place, Brody Henderson has 9 points.
Perfect game, perfect game on the line for Brody.
Tie this bully hotch up.
Better be a good 10 here, Spencer.
Question 10, the topic is woodsmanship. This climate pattern translates to little girl in Spanish and refers to when strong trade winds push warm water towards Asia.
Wah, wah.
Brody, very, very confident in his answer. This may close out the perfect game for him. Distance himself from Cal and Randall. This climate pattern translates to little girl in Spanish and refers to when strong trade winds push warm water towards Asia.
We better do the tiebreaker just for fun because this is such a letdown.
I'm not going to lie. It is a little anticlimactic.
Yeah. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying El Nino. Hansi saying La Nina. Chester saying La Nina, Randall saying La Nina, Mackenzie saying La Nina. Everyone says La Nina. They got it. The correct answer was La Nina.
Did you Seth, do that on purpose, or did you?
He did the male version, El Nino.
You were
which
brushing
is
up
wrong.
On your Spanish down
he did
in
write
Mexico,
it really fast,
right?
La Nina's power is felt across North America. Typically, this results in a drought in the southern United States, heavy rain in the Pacific Northwest, colder temps in the north, warmer temps in the south, and a more severe hurricane season. La Nina also creates colder, more nutrient-rich waters off of North America's west coast, which is beneficial for squid and salmon. NOAA predicts will transition from El Nino to La Nina in the summer of 2024. Brody is our winner with the perfect game, 10.
Let's get that tiebreaker one.
Answers.
That was, I mean,
we're not
even for Brody,
do,
that's like a
let's do the
do
tiebreaker, and then if Cal wins the tiebreaker, we'll split the $1,000 between two different conservation groups.
That sounds like a great idea. I bet folks on YouTube would really be into that.
Can I play along?
We'll split it three
I
ways.
I had 9.
You're gonna twist my arm. I guess we'll do a tiebreaker.
Okay.
I think we've once done a tiebreaker just for the fun of it, and that was during the wives and girlfriends episode.
The listeners will love
I think
it.
You owe it to the audience after okay. that lame question 10.
Okay. Seth, you got the lame question wrong. Here is the tie-breaking
question. Can we
question.
Have a pizza party afterwards? As long as we're just throwing
I
out
got,
requests.
I got orange slices outside for everyone.
The topic is cooking. According to the USDA, how many calories are in a raw 3-ounce serving of wild-caught channel catfish?
Oh, phenomenal question. This is a good question.
All right.
Do you see the difference?
According to the USDA, how many calories are in a raw 3-ounce serving of wild-caught channel catfish? Cal, this could just be for real if you'd stuck with piebald.
I don't have to participate
for your,
in this.
Deer question.
Yeah, this is more fun.
means nothing.
Right, so as per usual, we're going
could mean
to
that dollar.
Just the closest.
Closest. This is not Price is Right rules.
Who's eating a 3 ounce serving of catfish?
That's very small.
Write it.
That's how
to,
they do all that.
It's just
stuff.
The measurements.
It's
for,
sashimi catfish.
It's like if you're getting a bunch of catfish bites.
It's not
it's
even enough for
big.
One sandwich.
I was gonna say, it's too big for a bite.
Yeah. It's just like the new standard nutritional measurement.
Do you have prepped for your answer what it would be like from an actual southern
I
gas
absolutely
station?
Do. Yes. Well, from a fish farm. I have the fish farm difference. Write your answer to 0.1 decimal places.
Oh.
Wow. That way we have a winner for certain. Hansi's answer's out there for all to see. Maggie, go ahead and participate.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody ready?
Can we do it Price is Right style where you can't go over?
I don't think so. I really dislike the prices. That's just an excuse for them to give away less money when they do that. That's what's going on there. Go ahead. Oh, hold on. We're still waiting on Cal.
You're on a dollar. You're up a dollar. It strikes me that we could wager that. We wager that
oh, wow.
right here. Who is closer?
Sure.
Okay.
So Seth has won the bet with Chester, and now it may wind up that Chester ends up paying Hansi because Hansi is now doing a $1 bet with Seth as to who is closer on this tiebreaker. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying 90.1. Wow. Hansi saying 90.0. Chester saying 100.0. Randall saying 97.1. Mackenzie saying 117.0. Cal saying 21. Maggie saying 30.2. Brody saying 188.0.
Dang.
The correct answer is 80.8 calories.
Oh,
meaning
I lost my dollar.
Hansi gets the dollar from Chester.
Oh.
80.8. I think Hansi was the closest. He was 9.2 calories off. Brody
job,
and Cal went
thanks,
with
man.
The widest
way
spectrum in the room. They
you know,
gave
the
us our
I
lowest
you're the real winner
and
here.
Highest answers.
Hansi, do you have Venmo?
Well, are we going to donate this time. Money to someone, Spencer?
Now, that is 20 calories less than a channel catfish that came from a fish farm. So your wild-caught channel catfish has 20 fewer calories than a fish farm catfish.
Working for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Brody has $1,000 to donate because of his perfect game. Brody, where is that $1,000 going?
We haven't dumped any money into the Land Access Initiative in a while, so let's do that.
$1,000 going to the LAI. Are we going to have another project this year, Cal?
I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but it's going to be mid to late March.
Okay. That's a quick turnaround.
Is our next auction.
Oh, all right. The next auction house of oddities,
yes.
Mid to late
yeah.
March.
You yeah. haven't zoned in
you
on
don't have
spot.
A project.
No, sorry, I have. So that was the actual question. Timing is going to be mid to late March for the fundraising efforts, but we got bills due on the Wyoming Corner Crossing case. And the reason that that is perfect for the Land Access Initiative is because as it's made its way up through the federal courts, it can have national impacts mm-hmm. here. So in Wyoming alone, 2.4 million acres of just corner locked.
The most of any state in the
public
country.
Public ground. And then we're at like 1.7, I think, in Montana. 1.7 million of actual like corner locked, where, as we all know, it takes a footstep to get from public to public. Without ever infringing on somebody's private property rights. So this is a clear, just use of our access money for big access impacts. So
$1,000 going to the Meat Eater Land Access Initiative. We have the Auction House of Oddities coming up in about a month from now. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Telling you what, Dekt is a game changer. Dekt has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to decked.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to decked.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.